Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Armour Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Arimple, and welcome to this week's Armour Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, donkeys, exoplanets, and TT 2020. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Jess Ward.
Hello.
Plus, Distribution's very own yawner over there, Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
You're back?
I am.
Are you feeling better?
Yes, mostly.
It was weird last week, because there was only three of us. We missed your presence,
But you wouldn't have wanted it here. Like, Sam wouldn't speak to me for, like, 2 days before I just stayed off sick.
I mean, we didn't miss you.
Was it coming out of both ends?
No.
No.
Details.
I mean, we didn't miss you that much because we didn't put you back in the script.
No.
Let's see how I thought on my head. I thought on my head. So you've been
out.
But you've been back in this week. You're feeling better then, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. You haven't been away. You haven't fitted in a trip away.
No, not this week. Last weekend or this weekend. But for the next three weekends...
You're not here?
No.
No.
You do still look like you're recovering, though, because you're wrapped around in a little scarf and looking
very... it's because it's very cold in here.
I thought you were just celebrating Labour's groundbreaking manifesto launch.
I am. I'm dressed in Labour colours, especially for Jacob.
You might have thought they were more Christmassy than Labour, but there you go. Jess, good week?
Yeah, it's been good. Just been rushing about, really. Like, today, I've just come back because I'm looking for houses that... what people really put up their Christmas decorations.
Okay.
You know, getting it all done early. So I'm trying to find some places. And Katie suggested a place near Pinewood.
Yeah, there's a place opposite the Pinewood that's got a lot of flashing lights.
So if you want to get in touch with you with their flashing lights...
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
With their flashing, then that would be something
completely
different.
Don't stop there at that.
Like when we ask for dick pics.
Do not,
so they can email you, Jess?
Yeah, so if you find a house that you think is worthy of being in the Examiner for Tuesday...
That's cool. Nothing like we'll throw it together last minute feature, is it?
And so you can email me on jessica.ward, that's W-A-R-D, at iomtoday.co.im.
You have to think about that.
Yeah, I really had to.
Sam, good week?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's been a good one.
Right.
Concise as always from Samuel. Well, we've got lots to talk to you about today. We record Thursday evening, don't we? And tonight is the official light switch on in Douglas. Everyone excited about that?
We can't go. We're not going.
All right.
We've got other plans, the three of us.
Yeah, not you.
No, I declined it. Yeah. I'll be honest, I just any time where I might get 10 minutes sleep, I'm quite happy to decline other plans for. So, so the big switch on. Is it too early to start talking about Christmas? You know, are we on the 20th, 21st of November?
I think it's more acceptable now because Christmas is kind of around the corner. I think towards the end of November is okay.
34
but
days or something like that?
I will say, I was a bit upset this morning coming into work because I can't remember which radio station it was here, but they were playing Driving Home for Christmas.
Oh,
and I was driving into work.
That would be a long drive, wouldn't
that's,
it?
Like you said, like Sam said earlier, that's very specific to your job. A lot of people are driving home, not necessarily for Christmas right now, but in the morning.
That.
Like people finishing their shifts.
No, I think the point that you were making is it's too early to be driving home for Christmas.
No, she's talking about the time of the day.
That time of day, but also that.
He was taking more overage during the time of day.
Yeah, that's what she said this morning.
Andy's just
like, main driving into work for Christmas.
that was my added shift.
But yeah, I just thought it was strange. So.
I wasn't
too happy about that.
Well, talking about Christmas, it sort of leads us tenuously into our first story, Jess, and it's about the live nativity shows. Now, they've been on Tynwald Hill for the last couple of years, haven't they?
Yeah, so they've had Christmas on the Hill and Easter on the Hill.
But now, it's the big city move they've always been after, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yes. They're
coming
they're
to Douglas.
In. Yes, the little hooves coming in. Trotting in. Yeah,
what an interesting way to launch the birth of Dark Saviour. The hooves trotting across the floor.
This is the first time this event has ever happened in the Isle of Man. They're going to have a nativity played out in the centre of Douglas in Villiers Square,
mm-hmm.
where they'll have donkeys leading Mary and Joseph.
Past the roadworks on the prom. That'd be lovely for them.
Lovely views there. Straight in to the stage. And they're going to have
no room
shepherds.
In the temporary traffic lights.
No time for that. They're going to have goats led in by shepherds, sheep, and because they couldn't find any camels in time, they're going to use horses.
Find any what, sorry?
Camels.
Camels.
What did you think I said?
Camels.
Camels.
So there's various animals. It's lovely. The ones on the hill have gone down very well, so I'm sure this one as well. Now, yes. So what's the date they're going to do this? There's two showings, isn't there?
Yeah, there's two showings because, well, due to restrictions. They're going to have, like, back-to-back shows, so there's going to be show... This is happening on December the 19th.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, December the 19th, so you can get your late-night shopping in as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it works out quite well. One is at 6 o'clock and one is at 7:30. They're going to be...
Yeah. I can go see one of them.
And I think it's limited to 3,000 seats?
Yeah, so it's going to have 1,500 per show.
Right.
So, altogether, 3,000, which is quite a crowd. There's going to be non-alcoholic mulled wine, and there's going to be... there's also going to be, just lots of music from Salvation Army and a Douglas Gospel Choir.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Very, very fast.
So you have to get tickets online in advance. You can't just turn up, can you?
That's right, yeah. So they're going to announce the ticket sales as such. Although it's a free event, you've still got to book it off because obviously they've got the restrictions on the number of people who can go down. And yeah, that will be... Well, the details are actually in our newspaper article, which is in The Independent.
Page 3, The Independent this week. I also saw that they've had lots of volunteers, obviously people to help bring the animals in, people who maybe want to take a role in the nativity, but there is a specific role for people who want to pick up the poo, isn't there, of the animals afterwards.
Yeah. Very important job.
Producer Emma might be up for that job.
Yeah, I love that job.
She was chatting about various...
my
newborn's
child's
bodily waste, so, and various things about that, so she might be up for that. Yeah.
Then again, you have experience, so...
Yeah, but to be fair, he comes with a nappy usually. I don't know if I'd...
Maybe put nappies on a sheep.
Well, they did it with the horse trams, didn't they, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
I don't know.
It tends to just fly out the back. Yeah, it had more like a funnel than a nappy.
That's grim.
Yeah, and then you sort of funneled it back towards the tram, which sort of made it a bit redundant in a way.
But
there you go.
But they're still looking for volunteers, so if anybody wants to join up, they can.
So more on that in this week's Magnus Independent on page 3. Another story that caught the eye in The Independent this week, Samuel, was on 3 pages later on page 6, and it's about Chronicle Perry School, and they've reached the final for a competition to name an exoplanet. Now, for the layman amongst us, what's an exoplanet, Sam?
It's a planet not within our, what's the term?
Solar system. I love the hand.
I
think
he went a bit Patrick Moore with his
hand
movement.
Well, you see, something not quite here, but not quite too far away. So yeah, they hope they're gonna name an exoplanet. There's I think there's a few thousand, or at least 1,000 entries into this competition from students all across the British Isles, and they're in the final 10, which is pretty cool. They've gone for words that I could barely write, let alone pronounce.
Do you want our Manx linguist to have a crack at them?
No. Probably for the best. No.
Straight away.
Crinlac, which is orbit.
Right.
And Gloche, which is shine.
Both obviously Manx words. Yeah. And at the moment, they've got a catchy name, these exoplanets. So their working titles are quite good, isn't it? What, do you remember what they are?
Wasn't it like XO102 or something like that?
It's WASP, WASP-13, and WASP-13b.
Oh, cool.
Because it's not only the planet, it's the moon that runs it. So when people can vote for Cronkabera, can't they?
You can go online, the link's on the... is in the paper, it'll be online in a few days, of course, on iamtoday.co.in. Hey, plug. But yeah, you can go on there, go on the little link.
I think we can plug our own website on our own podcast.
I think we should do it more often. We should be doing.
It's not the Graham Norton show,
isn't it?
Can you imagine if Graham Norton show was in a stationery cupboard? Joining us today.
Well, part of it is
they have the red chair.
Which I think we should implement.
Well, we've got
faded
red chairs.
Yeah. Okay. Randomly, we could just tip somebody out of it.
Okay.
Or we couldn't do that. Health and safety. We could tip a bucket of water over them.
I'm sure.
Kurt would be furious.
Yeah.
Just banging on the door.
It'd have to be tepid water as well. Not too cold, not too warm, wouldn't it? But the exoplanets, Gronkaberry School. When's the deadline for entries?
Well, the entry deadline is closed.
The voting deadline. Voting, sorry.
is, I think you've got a couple of weeks. A
couple of weeks.
So, yeah, but the it's going to be announced. They're all going to be checked, verified, and this, that, and the other. And then they're going to be announced. But it's actually because, I think it's, there's not, I don't think it's every country on the planet, but there's a lot of countries around the world who've got this. So each country gets to name one.
Right.
So, I it's the little aliens you live on it that I feel sorry for. Because we're just going to give them a new name. And we're going to turn up with our sign. Hammering it into the ground. And we'll be like, hello, the English are here. And they'll be going, I thought they were Manx. And then the little aliens will be going, and where's that going to end up with us? We're going to end up in an incident with a foreign alien planet.
Wow. So I don't.
We can't go around there and other.
You've actually rendered him speechless.
You seem very, very distressed by this. So.
You've thought about this a bit too much, I feel.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right, so there's more on that, minus the alien impressions, on page 6 of
this
week's magazine.
Will you be doing a column on this in next week's Examiner? On your thoughts of naming
the leader.
Planets?
Greetings to our new aliens friends.
Overlords.
Yeah. Overlords.
Yes.
Well, that's At War of the Worlds at the minute, isn't it? It's on BBC One on Sunday.
He's going to plug everything now.
And when's your book out? In time for Christmas, is it?
No, it's coming out in 2020 alongside the new series of Doctor Who with guest star Stephen Fry.
Right, well, on that bombshell, we'll move on to the sport this week. Now, last week we talked about Tom Gandy, the golfer. You weren't here. I was looking at you there, Katie, but you were on your sick bed. Did you listen anyway?
I have listened to it.
Did you like a shout out for Mrs. Kitchener?
Yes, and I heard it because my mum was like, Katie, come and listen to the podcast. I've got a mention again.
Aww.
Your mum sounds a bit like Sam's aliens.
Wait a minute. That was our planet.
She isn't really that high-pitched, right. I don't think. No.
But yes, so last week we were talking about Tom Gandy, the Rowney Golf Club member who was playing for the European a place on the European Golf Tour, which is the top professional tour in Europe at the moment. He agonisingly missed out by one shot.
Oh, such a bummer.
Everyone was following it, seemingly all the island were following it on social media on Wednesday morning. Sam kept shouting over, how's he doing? And we presume you're talking about Tom, not Dave, but you know.
Well, Dave had a bit of a cough, so I was concerned.
But yeah, Tom missed out by a shot. Great effort nonetheless. He'll be on the Europe. It's easy for me. Is it Europe Pro? I can't even say it. Hang on. The Europe Pro Challenge Tour next year, which is a step below the European Tour.
So it's like the Europa League?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. I think that's where I was getting confused then.
Has something been like in the water for all of us? Because we are on something today.
I won at Crazy Golf in Glasgow.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did they offer
you
a
place? Are you on the European Tour?
Yeah. I should be. Given how well I did in Glasgow. I got a hole in one.
Wow, just the one?
There's only 18 holes. And I only got one hole in one, and the rest took one or two, two or three shots.
What was your final score?
47.
47?
On an 18.
I don't.
Crazy golf.
It was a lot of cocktails, lad.
The judgment in that voice.
I'll let Tom know that if he needs someone to practice with over the winter.
Quite the golfer.
Katie's quite the golfer. But he's not the story I'm going to talk about this week. It's about Glenn Irwin, who is going to announce he's going to ride the TT next year. Now, he's a British superbike star. Been months of speculation around this. He's competed in the Northwest 200 for the last couple of years, winning four races. He's a big name joining the TT, which is great for the event. And he'll be riding for Honda with Davey Todd, which sort of replaces Ian Hutchinson and Dave O'Johnson in those rides this year. So a bit of all change round. And it whets the appetite for next year's event. Obviously, we covered it a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? They've moved it forward a little bit, or back.
Yes,
forward,
that's right.
Forward. Back, forward.
Forward? As in, back. Like, forward to June. Oh,
not
no.
Back.
Wait, no, I'm...
Here
I'm,
we go.
I'm
Is looking... it back, forward?
No, you're right. It's
Thank
back.
You.
Back. You're
back
right.
To June.
Mrs. Kitchener, have a word. It's back.
Sort your daughter
it's
out.
It is back. I'm sorry. June.
It's back like Backstreet. Or Westlife, we've also got a new album out with it.
Have you been going through your Amazon wish list today?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so yeah, the TT20, I don't even know what I'm talking about. TT22 2020, or whenever it is, will be happening in the first 2 weeks in June next year.
Tickets for that are also on sale pretty soon.
For the grandstands?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can plug that one because that's a DfE thing, so it's fine.
Yeah. Whatever, Sam.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So Sam, this week in history, we go back to Friday, November the 23rd, 1951. The Isle of Man Examiner, front page of that week. There is tons on the front and some absolutely cracking stories. Which one's caught your eye this week?
Woman wins seat on Port Erin Authority.
Yes, the most sexist headline.
Yep.
Sorry, patronising.
Well, what's burnt it, but she won by two votes in a 73% poll. They would kill for a 73% turnout these days.
Yeah.
Mrs. Olive Tyson won one of the three seats contested in the election for Port Erin Commissioners. But there was actually a bigger reason why this is extremely relevant. She was the first female member of an Ireland local authority.
So, well, Mrs. Olive Tyson.
Yeah.
I like that name, Olive.
1951. Historic moment there.
Yeah, and it's buried down below something about a man in Peel saying it was a dictatorship.
Yeah, I tried to get into that, but I found that a bit like reading treacle out of the story. But yeah, it is above, just above the Blacks advert, though, for fireplaces. Mm. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
I like this story here. I mean, it's quite adventurous, I reckon. So it's adrift off West Africa. The people who were out there for 3 days without food and water. So it was Manx fishermen. They had been travelling on a Manx fishing boat, and they were operating from Cape Town before their engine broke, and just before then their engineer had left, so something had gone down where he was like, right, I'm out. So they were out there with a broken engine, and they drifted for 2 days helplessly, and they were trying to like fire rockets to attract trawlers to come and save them, but just no success whatsoever. And then they got close to the land a couple of times. Why are you laughing?
Sorry, it's the way you're telling it. It's like something really exciting happened today at school and you're telling your mum and dad about everything that happened. So, and then...
And this one time, off the coast of South Africa, our engine stopped.
I don't know, it's just one of the stories. When I started reading, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I like started reading more into it and I'm like... Good to know. Like if we had a story like this now, it'd be
a great story. It's a guy, the William John Kane, and I think it's fantastic. These guys had this trawler and thought, right, we're not doing particularly well here. We'll take it to South Africa or off the coast of Africa. It was actually French Equatorial Africa, and then Portuguese Africa, which I'm sure Colonial Sam will tell us about what is the current name. But yeah, they decided to take the trawler all the way down there
because the type of fish that they were.
Yeah,
catching over there was bringing in a lot more profit.
Yeah, but then did you see the trawler was stuck? So they thought, right, we'll get in this boat and try a little rowing boat and try and row to safety. But then that didn't work
well, did it?
They got cut adrift, didn't
exactly.
It?
But then, so they got close to land and that says that a native came out on a small boat. And they brought
a canoe.
Brought him back to land. They had to then go through the jungle.
Yeah, for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Till they found a missionary hospital?
Yeah, it was a missionary hospital with like.
But I love the priests. This guy, now I'm not being funny, the Examiner in 1951, there was no social media, no internet, wouldn't know this was happening. He wrote in and told them about it.
Yeah, he was in a hospital bed.
Right, what should I do? Tell mum and dad I'm alive. Then I'll write to the Examiner. They'll look. Even enclosed a lovely picture of himself.
He does, yeah. So, there's some quotes here. So he said, we rowed all day that night until daylight and could not get back into the ship for 3 days. We continued to row and drift until we were exhausted. We had neither food nor water for 3 days, and yeah, once they had been rescued, he said, we won't forget the ordeal as long as we live. So, yeah. I thought it was very dramatic.
Very good story.
It was a very gripping story.
My favourite thing on the front page this week is, I don't know if you spotted it, it's the picture that seems to have no context. So the caption reads, His Excellency has the £100 photo shown to him by Mrs. J. Skillicorn and Mrs. Whittle, two of the adjudicators, accompanied by WAG tier MLC.
Yeah, there's nothing.
But there's actually no explanation other than that.
Just some people looking at a photo.
A picture, which apparently is worth £100, which in 1951 is quite a lot of money.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
But to me, I can't see any other story referencing it.
No, you need more to it.
There's nothing.
No, exactly. So it's just a bizarre picture. Casey, your favourite advert? No, Sefton are back.
That made me very happy seeing that.
My favourite was the bottom right as you look at it.
Well, do you know that one?
Yeah.
It's a lovely picture of a lady in a nice fashionable raincoat holding a small dog.
Yes.
And this morning, producer Emma was like, oh, what would you call that dog? So we decided what we would name him.
And?
What was it? I would call him Hoskins.
I quite like the name Danny Mac.
Danny Mac.
Well, she is wearing a Mac.
No, that's what the Mac is called, Danny Mac, but the dog could be called Danny Mac. What was you called for? Did you say
Hoskins?
Hoskins, as in Bob.
As in Bob.
Oh.
And then producer Emma was like, "Who's Bob Hoskins?" And I said, "No."
Only starred in one of the greatest films ever, Hook.
He is in Hook. He's
alongside Phil Collins.
Who's Phil Collins in Hook?
He is a police detective.
Is he?
He plays the drums.
And Dustin Hoffman,
of course. Watch it again. Watch it again.
Revisit old classics. Look for Phil Collins in them all.
It's loaded with. He's not as good as Buster, where he was great in that. But he is very good in it. So do you want to read the description that tickled me of the code?
No need to look dowdy on dull days. Try this lightweight Danimac waterproof. It can be worn, what's it say, as a swagger coat. or neatly belted.
I love that.
Detachable hood included. Has the new pyramid fastening. What? Has the new pyramid fastening?
Do you think it's because the buttons are kind of like going on a triangle?
It's tax free.
That sold it for me.
The season's loveliest new colours.
All the fittings, including
outsizes.
Outsizes.
Like, I can't say. I can't say.
But yes, so if anyone has a Danimac, please do get in touch.
Let us know if you wear it.
In the rain.
And what the heck a pyramid fastening is.
As a swagger coat or neatly belted.
And the pyramid fastening, yes.
And what you call your dog you carry with you whilst you wear your Danimac coats.
Anything else, Sam, before we move on?
Warm aware for chilly days. For your health's sake, wear wool.
Oh.
Yes, for health's sake. So we should all be wearing wool tonight when we're
I'm
outside.
I'm wearing wool right now. Yes.
Winner. Ahead of the curve.
Both behind and ahead of your time.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Manx Word of the Week. Now, Katie, because you weren't here last week, we had a sort of moment's silence. We didn't have Manx Word of the Week.
And then producer Emma edited out the moment silence.
Yes, pretty much, because she doesn't like dead air.
No, she's very angry.
It's awkward.
So you can give us the one which was the week before last week, if you, so to speak.
Okay, it was like Macau and Shinnok, which meant panda.
Oh.
Because we've been doing our Kush updates.
I would never have guessed they'd have a Manx word for that.
Yes. No, I would have thought panda would have been
panda. Just bear for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
But I love this week's word.
Okay. Go on in. Jess?
Oh, here?
Mm. Yeah. Where it says this word.
Oh, no, I was looking at it. Blur.
Sam?
Blur.
Sorry?
Blur.
You're coming down now, aren't you?
The Westlife excitement's have gone.
It's zapped all his energy.
He's plugged everything he has to now. So, hang on, so, blah.
Yeah, that is how it sounds. Yeah.
That sounds like a bit more like a sheep. Blah.
Blah.
Yeah. So that's this week's Word of the Week. Let's hear how the culture band and lads had to say it.
Blah.
And now, if you want to find out what that blah means, please do tune in next week where Katie will reveal all in the Manx word. So, sphere.
the sphere.
Yeah. Anglo-Manx phrases, of course, didn't appear last week either, because you weren't here. Where are we up to now?
Right, so we are onto the H's.
The H's, yeah.
I've been quite confused by some of these H's. A lot of them are to do with herrings and fish in general this week. So I picked two non-fish ones.
Okay.
One is actually a game.
Oh.
Which I wonder if any of us have ever played.
Okay.
And the second one has a couple of meanings, but it just made me giggle a lot, but...
Okay.
Anyway. Sam?
Sam?
Right, so the first one's called with at ball, which is hats in holes, and in Somerset, and in Cumberland it's pancake battery.
Hats are ranged in a row against a wall, and a ball is pitched and turned by each boy into one of the hats from a measured distance.
As in that well-known phrase, Let's say a game of bat ball, or else up the app.
Here we go. Michael Parkinson is back with us. The most Yorkshire Manxman in the world.
And so Hop the Hat is a game in which boys hop over hats, which are ranged in a row.
So hang on, do they throw the ball into the hat?
They're kicking the ball into a hat, which is lined against a wall.
And then hop over.
Or you're hopping over hats to play Hop the Hat.
But if you're in the... Oh, so there's two variations.
Yeah, so you've got your hat ball.
Right, there's your hat.
And I've got a hat right here.
I reckon it's like a bowler hat.
I think we bring this back for the Christmas party.
People were just so bored before television.
I think it shows wonderful invention, Sam. It was a happier time.
Yeah, throw your telly out the window. Go throw Hugo's telly out the window. See how that goes for you. Get him a row of hats. This is great, this.
He's got the book. I'll play it with him tonight. And he will enjoy it. Right, so next one. I like this. So this was the next one going in.
It just said, right, this is just what I copied from the website. It just says, Harry.
Right, as in the name.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Prince.
Right, I don't know where this is going with this at all. I'm reading it going, like, Harry from Portlandillery. It's a name for Port St. Mary, man. If he settles elsewhere than his native place, he is called Harry Hank Noel. As in, Harry came over. So it's a come over reference, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jess is a
Harry
Hank Noel.
Yeah. Okay. Right, Harry.
Hi, guys.
Harry. what's the next one? There is various meanings though to Harry.
Yeah,
so Harry Longleg.
Another one for Jess.
The long-legged spider, Harry Longlegs.
So, Harry Longlegs is a spider.
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like that one.
That's cute.
We could use that one.
A Harry Longlegs in your house.
And the last meaning.
I just really laughed a lot at the Velvet Fiddler crap.
But you haven't put Harry Norris.
Harry Norris, the Velvet Fiddler. What
is that? Harry Norris has a crown on his back. He can run like Harry Norris.
Who's Harry Norris?
The Harry Norris isn't as green as the classic, and the pints of the claws is blue. This is absolute nonsense. This is like what Sam was talking about earlier.
It makes no sense, any of it.
So does anyone know?
It's
who
like someone high wrote it. I just don't get it.
Does anyone know who Harry Norris is? What's a Velvet Fiddler crap?
I don't know what a Velvet Fiddler
Harry Norris came from Port Lamora, you see.
No, did he? You don't know that.
Just
you twiddle your beard and go, doesn't make it a fact.
It's official.
I was going back to the start. Okay. It was the first one from Harry
Potter. I'm guessing people will stop listening by that point.
I think they've stopped listening by now anyway.
Harry Norris was a famous hatball champion.
Oh, he was from Portlamora.
Yeah.
He got so famous, he left Portlamora and they started calling him Harry Hank Noel. And then, like, it all went wrong. The fame went to his head and he ended up fiddling crabs. And
he became the Velvet Crab Fiddler.
So don't be like Harry Norris, kids.
Stay in school.
Stay in school and say no to it.
Hats and holes.
Right, there's more H's next week. Christ knows where we're going with that. Have you peeked ahead? Or
I have. I thought there's a couple more that aren't fish related that we can get out of the H's, I think.
Is it H from Steps?
No, but I was watching...
Who has a documentary...
You went to see last year, actually, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, he saw Rest Club.
It was S Club, yeah.
Easy mistake.
He's on an antiques programme at the moment. I was watching him on it the other day. And he's like, he's really hench. He's like, been hitting
hench
the gym.
Hench for
it's like
hench.
David Craig when he like went through his bodybuilding stage.
Who?
Oh, not David. Oh, that's the film star, isn't it?
Who are you talking about?
No, that's Daniel.
The singer.
Craig David.
That's the one. I think I need to go to sleep.
We are doing a quiz tonight. This is the knowledge that Jess is bringing to the table.
Do you remember when Harry Morrow spent through his hench phase?
Like a crab.
Right, so more H's next week. Before we go on and wrap up this absolute shambles, Jess, much on next week?
Moment, yeah, lots of Christmassy stuff. I've been talking to people for the
good.
Again, just in general. I've been talking to people about
key part of your job there
about the possible ban that's going to be put in place across Douglas
hat
for the mass feeding of birds, wildlife, and birds, and basically about this kind of traumatic stories of being attacked by seagulls.
Any pink ones?
No, no, not yet.
So the pink ones are famously less aggressive.
Yeah, I reckon so.
So that's an examiner?
Yeah.
On Tuesday. Katie, what can we want next week?
Yeah, loads.
In the world of loads of stuff.
Yeah, it's really busy week.
Really busy week.
Really busy week.
Great stuff. And if people want to buy a paper to... unfortunately, there's no stories on Harry Norris or Hatball, but there is plenty of other stuff, isn't there?
Yes. So if you... like, if it gets to Tuesday and it's looking miserable and grim outside and you're like, I'm just going to sit in the comfort of my home or office or factory, wherever, car, I don't know. But you can go on iomtoday.co.im and click on digital editions and get the examiner from, like, 9 in the morning.
Wow.
First thing.
Sam, what's going on this week?
Well, by the time, dear listener, you hear this wonderful edition of the podcast...
you're saying goodbye to us.
The courier will be on, right?
Yeah.
And you'll have the courier, which is front page with Dan, who is fighting the man to try and something get thrown out of his house.
Now, I think you need to sort of maybe give a bit more reference to where his house is.
In a woods.
In a woods.
Yeah.
Right. So he's
built it himself.
Yeah.
It's on government land.
And you went to find him today, didn't you?
He's an absolute hero.
And you couldn't spent today wandering around the woods.
No.
Well, you did wander a little bit till you found
out. No, I was still in the car at that point.
Did someone else go out and do the wandering whilst you sat in the car until you were being summoned?
No, I found the friendly northern chap to point me in the right direction.
Right, some more on that in the courier. Anything else going on for the examiner?
The stuff for the examiner. There's loads of stuff for the examiner, don't you worry.
Right. I was worrying. You could see that across my face. Thanks for sticking with us, if you indeed still are. I'm sure Mrs. Kitchener is, but that's probably about it. Yeah.
My dad's probably left the room by now.
He's out with the curries. He's like, even if it's chucking it down, he's like, I'm not listening to this anymore.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch throughout the week and compliment us on a tremendous podcastery, please do. It's at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Please do remember, if you've got some lights up...
Jess, contact me, please.
Email Jess, jessica.ward@iomtoday.co.im.
That's fine.
Yeah, I did that for a dramatic
pause. I saw that.
You're looking for decent light, so you don't want...
Want some real effort that's been put into it.
Okay.
Not just, you know, someone sellotaped a... not sellotaped, just a little bit of fairy lights onto something.
What are we all looking at behind me?
It's the ghost of Harry Norris. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.